I've had some thoughts that the Lord has put on my mind, some things I've been actually thinking about the last couple months, actually back into this past year, and some things I wanted to share with you this morning, some things the Lord put upon my heart. I don't think this is any type of problem we have in our church right now, but it's always good to think about these things. I know there's been times in my life when I've not always been in harmony with people in the body, and I see that at times, and we need to always strive for that, to have love for one another, to have unity within the body, and that's what I wanted to talk about today. And this is a picture from the Canada reunion. It's a couple years ago. It wasn't last year's, but it was the years before that, and I thought it was a really nice picture. And it was a very a pleasant reunion up there that we went to, and I felt like everybody had a good time. There's a loving attitudes that went around with everybody, and it was a real blessing to be there, and I felt like that was a good time where we were in harmony as a body, and it's just one example. Also, as we come here today, but I really like that picture. I don't know if you can, people that went there, if you can find yourself. So I thought the suitable passage to start our service or the sermon today would be 4 Nephi 1, 1 through 45. So let's turn to that. On page 681. So this here, fourth book of Nephi, this is 34 years after the coming of Jesus Christ. And it says, "And it came to pass that the 34th year passed away, and also the 35th year. Excuse me. And behold, the disciples of Jesus had formed a church of Christ in all the lands round about. And as many as did come unto them and did truly repent of their sins were baptized in the name of Jesus. And they did also receive the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both the Nephites and the Lamanites. And there were no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with another." So these two groups of people, Nephites and the Lamanites, you know, at times they would fight amongst each other, say things about each other. They didn't like each other, but here at this time, Jesus Christ came, and it took Jesus Christ to come to unite the body. And they learned from that, and they grew in their love for one another. And so we see this occurrence or this occasion where they were in harmony as a church body. "And they had all things common among them. Therefore there were not rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift." All things in common. They shared everything they had. You know, these things that I had weren't necessarily just mine. I shared them with the body. They shared these things openly one with another because of the love they had, and they were able to do that. "And it came to pass that the 37th year passed away also, and there still continued to be peace in the land. And there were great and marvelous works wrought by the disciples of Jesus, insomuch that they did heal the sick and raise the dead, and cause the lame to walk, and the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear." So there were marvelous things that were taking place within the body. "And all manner of miracles did they work among the children of men, and in nothing did they work miracles, save it were in the name of Jesus. And thus did the 38th year pass away, and also the 39th, and the 41st, and the 42nd, yea, even until 49 years had passed away, and also the 51st, and the 52nd, yea, until even 59 years had passed away. And the Lord did prosper them exceedingly in the land, yea, insomuch that they did build cities again where there had been cities burned. Yea, even that great city Zarahemla did they cause to be built again. And there were many cities which had been sunk, and waters came up in the stead thereof. Therefore these cities could not be renewed." So we're getting into the next generation. 59 years had passed since the coming of Christ, and they're still in harmony. And now behold, it came to pass that the people of Nephi did wax strong and did multiply exceeding fast and became an exceeding fair and delightsome people. And they were married and given in marriage and were blessed according to the multitude of the promises which the Lord had made unto them. And they did not walk any more after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from the Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer and in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And that's what we're doing today. And we come here and we have fellowship with one another. It helps us to grow and it helps us to continue in that unity of the body. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. And it came to pass that the 70 and first year passed away, and also the 70 and second year. Yea, and in fine, until the 70 and ninth year had passed away, yea, even 100 years had passed away. And the disciples of Jesus, whom he had chosen, had all gone to the paradise of God, save it were the three which should tarry, talking about the three Nephites. And there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and also many of that generation which had passed away. So here we have continual, the ordination of new ministry, the calling of ministry to replace those disciples that had passed away. And it came to pass there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And so that's a big key right there, to have a love for one another. And that will result in peace. That will result in harmony. If we love our neighbor as ourself, we have love for our enemies, and we see these great things that were happening in the church because of this love. And there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people which had been created by the hand of God. And to me, this is a really special chapter to know what happened to these people and how they were blessed because of this love that they had in our hearts. And we see other examples of this in Scripture, but this is very plain, and this is all explained to us is how these people were blessed because of these things. There were no robbers nor murderers, neither were there Lamanites nor any manner of ites, but they were one, the children of Christ and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how many of us at times in our life have wanted to follow a specific person, or maybe we get on the side of somebody versus the side of somebody else, and there becomes these two groups of people, and they have different opinions, and there's no unity within the body, but here they were united in Jesus Christ and their love for one another, so there weren't any manner of ites that it talks about here. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings, yea, even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years had passed away, and the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land, so 110 years. And it came to pass that Nephi, he that kept this last record, and he kept it upon the plates of Nephi, died. And his son Amos kept it in his stead, and he kept it upon the plates of Nephi also. And he kept it 84 years, and there was still peace in the land, save it were a small part of the people which had revolted from the church, and took upon them the name of the Lamanites. Therefore, there began to be Lamanites again in the land. And it doesn't, right at this point in time, it doesn't specifically say what had caused this, but let's continue reading here. And it came to pass that Amos died also, and it was 194 years from the coming of Christ. And the son of Amos kept the record in his stead, and he also kept it upon the plates of Nephi. It was also written in the book of Nephi, which is this book. And it came to pass that 200 years had passed away, and the second generation had all passed away, save it were a few. And now I, Mormon, would that ye should know that the people had multiplied insomuch that they were spread upon all the face of the land, and they had become exceeding rich because of their prosperity in Christ. So the Lord was blessing them. And now in this 201st year, there began to be among them those who were lifted up in pride, such as wearing of costly apparel, and of all manner of fine pearls, and of the fine things of the world. So here's one thing that caused division, and that was pride. We know pride is a big problem. It can be a big problem. And here's an example of a division it can cause when we have pride in our life. And from that time forth, they did have their goods and their substance no more in common among them, and they began to be divided into classes, and they began to build up churches unto themselves to get gain, and began to deny the true church of Christ. You know, what do I have in my life that's mine? You know, is that the attitude I have, that this is my house, this is my piece of property, these are my goods and my belongings, and they're all mine, and you know, I accumulated these things on my own. God did not give them to me. They're a result of what I've done in my life, and nothing can take it away from me. You know, I can, like the Egyptians did, they'd bury themselves, the great pharaohs, and they'd bury all these goods with them. Nobody else could have them, but they thought they could take it with them, but they couldn't. We have to ask ourselves if we have that same attitude. If all these things, all these blessings that I have there, they're strictly mine, and I'm not going to share them with anybody else, and because of these things, you know, I think I'm better than other people because I have this house, because I have these goods, because I have this item, because I have this property. You know, almost like it's a competition. Do we go through life with that type of attitude? The more money I have, the better off I am, the better I am than my brother and sister, or my friends or my family, because I have these things. In verse 29, it came to pass that when 210 years had passed away, there were many churches in the land, yea, there were churches which professed to know the Christ, and yet they didn't deny the more parts of his gospel, insomuch that they did receive all manner of wickedness, and did administer that which was sacred unto him, to whom it had been forbidden because of unworthiness. And we see this today. We see this today, which professed to know Christ, and they did deny the more part of his gospel. We are to keep his commandments, and they are important. And we have to come forward when, you know, before we're baptized with an attitude of repentance, humbleness before the Lord, and that needs to go on to the remainder of our lives, just like we're going to partake in the sacrament today. We have to make sure that we have that right attitude before the Lord, and we've repented of those sins that we have in our life. And this church did multiply exceedingly because of iniquity and because of the power of Satan, which did get hold upon their hearts. And again, there was another church which denied that the Christ, and they did persecute the true church of Christ because of their humility and their belief in Christ. And they did despise them because of the many miracles which were wrought among them. Therefore, they did exercise power and authority over the disciples of Jesus, which did tarry with them. And they cast them into prison, but by the power of the word of God which was in them, the prisons were rent in twain, and they went forth doing mighty miracles among them. And the contentions got so bad that they not only were angry with each other, but they wanted to hurt each other. And it says here they threw them in furnaces of fire. And this is the same group of people that were once united with this love for one another. The same group of people, but then their hearts were so hard that they wanted to harm one another. And I think I might stop right there. I didn't want to go as far as what I had here in the scripture. I saw this. I've been running across different quotes and things that people have been sharing in the last couple weeks that kind of went along with the subject. Call me crazy, but I love to see people happy and succeeding. Life's a journey, not a competition. So is that the attitude we have in our hearts, that you know, there's certain people we might struggle with, but do we truly want them to succeed in life? Do we want them to be blessed? And want them to come to know the Lord? Or do we look at life as a competition, when I don't want this person to succeed? If they succeed, then I'm going to be envious because of that, or I'm going to be jealous. I'm going to have jealousy in my heart. Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, it's such a great thing, and we can do great things as a body when we have a love for one another. One, I want my brother and sister to succeed. So think about people, brothers and sisters in your church. You know, think of all of them. And do you want us to dwell together in unity? Do you want them to have success spiritually? Or do you have bitterness in your heart towards one person or another? So how do you love a family member? Think about the love you have for your family. How do you love a brother or sister in the church? And then, of course, there's this verse I think about from time to time, Matthew 12:46-50. While yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. You know, I've heard it said to me, and I've said it to other people at times, that I have a love for them, that I have a love for you. So think about that. Think about that relationship you have with your family by genetics, and think about the relationship you have with other people. This is something I came across about a month ago. It's an old legend, a Jewish legend, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I think it says a lot. It says, there's an ancient Jewish legend according to which there were two brothers in ancient Israel who loved each other dearly. They lived side by side on adjoining farms. One was married, the other single. One night in harvest time, the married brother said to himself, my brother has no wife or children, as I have, to cheer his heart. He must be lonesome, living by himself as he does. I will go out and put some of my sheaves on his land to make his heart glad. At the same time, the unmarried brother said to himself, my brother is married and has many cares. He must often find it hard to provide food for his children. I, on the other hand, am not thus burdened. I will go out and put some of my sheaves on his land. So here they're both looking out for one another. So for two nights in succession, each brother carried sheaves across the line which separated their fields. On the third night, however, there was bright moonlight, and the two men met face to face. On this very spot, says the legend, was built the temple of God. For here where these two brothers met each other, heaven came nearest to earth. So again, I don't know if this is true or not, but we see how, you know, great things can be accomplished when we have a love for one another and we get into that state, that proper state. 2 Nephi 13:29, wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. You know, it's just not certain people, it's everybody. It's our even our enemies that we have a love for. Moroni 6:6, and the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And that's what we're going to do today. We're meeting together. We're praying today. We're going to speak to one another. We're going to share our testimonies with one another. And if a brother or sister, they get up and they share and they share a testimony and they say, well, could you pray for me for this? Or maybe, this has been hard for me this week, or this is how the Lord's blessed me, but do we care for the welfare of our souls? Do we take time to listen to somebody when they stand up and they share their testimony? Or is it not important to us? In Galatians 6, 1 through 3, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, concerning thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So we're supposed to bear each other's burdens. We're supposed to look out for one another. We're supposed to pray for one another. If we see someone that's in a fall, we are supposed to help them out with that. In the church. And when we're tempted, or when we fall, and we make mistakes, and a brother or sister comes to us and say, well, I see, you know, I'm concerned about this. And how do we act? How do we react if somebody has a love for us and are trying to help us out? Do we react with anger? You know, how could you say that? How could you say that to me? Or do we work with that person and humble ourselves? James 3, 13 through 18, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And you know, sometimes I've heard it said in my home that we need to be peacekeepers. We need to try to keep the peace. You know, how do we envy a brother or sister? Do we sow strife through what we say? In Hebrews 12, 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So this is a requirement that you need to have peace with your brothers and sisters, and you need to rectify any problems that exist or any situations. And that'll get us into that appropriate state where one day we can see the Lord. This is something else I saw recently. Always pray to have eyes that see the best in people, a heart that forgives the worst, a mind that forgets the bad, and a soul that never loses faith in God. And sometimes maybe we have a disagreement with some person, and it's been resolved, it's been taken care of, but there's something... That some type of strife or bitterness that tries to reinvent itself in our hearts. But do I strive to see the best in people, or do I always think that they have it out for me? You know, if Satan whispers in my ear and says, well, that person doesn't like you, they're probably saying this about you, they probably think this about you. Are you always instead trying to see the best in people, that they care for you? I know you care for me, and I care for you. So we need to not forget that and always try to have this positive attitude. This is something else I saw. I believe that appreciation is a holy thing, that when we look for what's best in the person we happen to be with at the moment, we're doing what God does. So in appreciating our neighbor, we're participating in something truly sacred. And, you know, God sees the bad, he sees the good, but he knows the inner heart. And sometimes we only look at the outward appearance, but God knows what's inside. He knows the heart of a person. And sometimes we have to consider what people's motives are and what they do and appreciate these things. First Corinthians 13, 4 through 5, charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And I've got I've got the King James Version here, and I've also, I've got the NIV coming up here, but I've got another couple verses. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. This actually is the NIV, sorry for that. But I like this translation. It's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. And do we have records of wrongs with the people we've interacted with in the church, in the church body, that we always carry through with us in life? Something that somebody did to me or something they said to me, is that a record that I have? Am I always looking out for myself, self-seeking, or am I also looking out for a brother or sister or somebody else? Am I offering them feedback, constructive feedback? Am I telling them, you know, you did a really good job with this, or see that you're struggling today and I want to help you with this problem that you have in your life? Or if somebody's down in the dumps, do we try to lift them up and try to help them out? This is a song from the 80s. I thought about this. Friends, Michael W. Smith. And it says, if friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them, and a friend will not say never, because the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And, you know, what about brothers and sisters? Are we always brothers and sisters in the body? Will it be for our entire lives that we have this love for one another, this church body? I mean, it's all the way to the day that we live this earth. That's the way it's supposed to be. If there's anything that's separating us from a brother or sister, we need to take care of that problem. This is something else I saw. I saw this yesterday. I didn't write this. Somebody else did. So it's this diagram here, the directions you can take if somebody offends me. So if somebody offends you, do you tell people all about it? Do you go down this left side here? If the listeners begin to think less of my offender, and maybe that's what we want. Maybe that makes us feel better, we think, if we get other people to think less of this person. They join me in speaking negatively about my offender. I have succeeded in causing others to sin, creating division in relationships, making myself more upset by rehashing the details over and over, directly, knowingly, willfully disobeying God's word by reacting according to my flesh rather than submitting to the Spirit. And then there's the right side over here. We go directly to God in prayer. He listens to me and gives me his better perspective. I think we sang here, let's pray for one another. I feel peace. The need to vent to others is gone. I've honored God by valuing unity over the very temporary pleasure of gossiping, gaining sympathy from others. And so, of course, this right side is the way that we are supposed to behave. And if we have a problem, we're to go to them about it, this person that's offended us. And something else that got me thinking about this somewhat is we had a Tuesday night study. It was probably 3 weeks ago now. And we were talking about something, about the topic, and somebody spoke up and they said, well, you know, Satan's always working to cause division, to get rid of any unity we have in the body. And it was exactly what I wanted to talk about this morning, that Satan works hard to do this. And we don't want to get into the point where we're like these generations in the Book of Mormon. You know, we're one generation right now, but then our kids are going to come up. They're the next generation. And we want the blessings to continue, this fellowship and this Church of Christ that we have. We don't want that to go away because, you know, that's possible. If we're not behaving the way we should, we don't have a love for one another. You know, 50 years from now, will this church still be here? you and someone are drifting apart, rectify the situation. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. We're supposed to go to them first, not to somebody else. Harriet Olson. We watched Little House on the Prairie quite a bit. We're almost done, so I don't know what we're going to do after we're done watching all of them. But if you know anything about Harriet Olson, you know that she likes to talk about other people. And she likes to talk about the worst in people. And she's had a couple opportunities on episodes of Little House on the Prairie to write columns in the newspaper. They had like two different newspapers at different points in time. And she was able to have this section in the paper. And she used it to gossip about people, to say things that weren't kind about people. And I think the last episode we watched where this happened, there was a lady, and this lady had come into Walnut Grove, into that group of people, into that town, and she was trying to make a new start for herself. And everybody got along with her, people helped her out, they helped her out, and things were going really well, and there was a great love that they had one for another in that town. And Harriet Olson not only had a column, but she also had this switchboard that she operated at the restaurant that they had. And so she would often listen to people's conversations on the switchboard. And one day she listened to this conversation between this lady and somebody else this lady knew. And the lady who had moved to Walnut Grove, trying to make a new start for her life, she had struggled in the past. She had struggled in the past with drinking. She had a drinking problem. And she had other problems. And she was talking on the phone to this other person, said, you know, I haven't gotten drunk recently. Things are going so well for me in my life right now. You know, things were great. And Harriet Olson was listening there on the switchboard to that whole conversation. And she said, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a column in the newspaper. And she said all this stuff. This lady came to Walnut Grove, but she used to have all these problems. She used to do this, she used to do that, and she's just taking advantage of the people in the town. And it was right there in the paper, and people read it. And this person got greatly upset because what had happened, and she got so upset that she ended up going and getting drunk again. It all started because Harriet Olson, you know, was listening to these things that she should not have listened to. She decided she was going to share it with other people. And it ruined this lady's life. And the lady left town. And then the church got together and they did what was right. They went out and they found this lady. And they said, you need to come back. We apologize for what happened. And this lady came back into the town. It all started because she couldn't keep her mouth shut, because she listened to those things she shouldn't have been listening to. So, you know, when do we behave like this? Do I ever behave like this fictional character of Harriet Olson? I know I have before. Helaman 5:1-37, and they were much disturbed, for Satan did stir them up to do iniquity continually. Yea, he did go about spreading rumors and contentions upon all the face of the land, and he might harden the hearts of the people against that which is good and against that which should come. And this is what Satan continually tries to do, and to cause division and contentions within the body. All the time he's doing this. We have to be on our guard. 1 Nephi 5:42-54. On page 51. And it came to pass that we did again take our journey, traveling nearly the same course as in the beginning. And after that we had traveled for the space of many days, we did pitch our tents again that we might tarry for the space of a time. And it came to pass that Ishmael died and was buried in a place which was called Nahom. And it came to pass that the daughters of Ishmael did mourn exceedingly because of the loss of their father and because of their afflictions in the wilderness. And they did murmur against my father because that he had brought them out of the land of Jerusalem, saying, Our father is dead, yea, and we have wandered much in the wilderness, and we have suffered much affliction, hunger, thirst, and fatigue. And after all these sufferings, we must perish in the wilderness with hunger. And thus they did murmur against my father and also against me, and they were desirous to return again to Jerusalem. That's when time gets hard, when times get hard, this is what we're tempted to do, to complain about the situation. And if maybe we complain, then maybe other people will complain about it too. And Laman said, saith unto Lemuel and also unto the sons of Ishmael, Behold, let us slay our father and also our brother Nephi, who hath taken it upon him to be our ruler and our teacher, who are his elder brethren. So it just, you know, this layman, this one person spoke out. And because of what he does here, it gets everybody else upset. And not only that, he had some pride in his life. You know, who does Nephi think that he is? Our younger brother, I'm the older brother. Who does Nephi think that he is? That he's giving us the commandments here, that he's telling us what to do. Now he saith that the Lord had talked with him, and also that angels have ministered unto him. But behold, we know that he lieth unto us, and he telleth us these things, and he worketh many things by his cunning arts, that he may deceive our eyes, thinking perhaps that he may lead us away into some strange wilderness. And after that he hath led us away, he hath thought to make himself a king and a ruler over us, that he may do with us according to his will and pleasure. And after this manner did my brother Laman stir up their hearts to anger. And Nephi was, he was their minister. And the Lord was talking and working with Nephi. But yet Laman and Lemuel and these people did not recognize this. These people that God was working with to bring the blessings to the people. They were fighting against Nephi. And it came to pass that the Lord was with us, even the voice of the Lord came and did speak many words unto them, and did chasten them exceedingly. And after that they were chastened by the voice of the Lord, they did turn away their anger and did repent of their sins, insomuch that the Lord did bless us again with food that we did perish. We did not perish, I'm sorry. And we see that this happens over and over again in our scripture, that the Lord blesses the people, and then sometime later, somebody will speak again and stir something up because they didn't learn the lesson the first time. Mosiah 2:18-27. On page 220. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember, and always retain in remembrance, the greatness of God, and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. This humility, it's not just a one-time thing at our baptism or any other point in life. It's a continual thing. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. You shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. You will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render every man according to that which is due. So we see part of the formula for this is humility and love. You will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel with one another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin. Or which is the evil spirit which has spoken by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. So what happens in the future, what happens in the next generation, is not only our kids' responsibility, it's our responsibility that we're supposed to train our children in the things that they should do and the ways that they should walk. Making it easier for them to get to where they need to be in life so that peace and harmony in the body can continue. Here's another one. We watched Little House last night again. This is Nancy Olson, and the Olsons adopted her after Nellie Olson left home. They wanted to have a daughter in the home again. And she stood up in school and she said, well, I have this poem I want to share, if I'm getting this right. And it's called Why Jesus Loves Me More Than Most. And the teacher said, well, okay, Nancy, I don't think we'll have you read that at this time or something like that. So do we think like Nancy Olson that Jesus loves me more than other people? I'm the one that's right. I'm the one that's always in tune with the Lord. It's not that person, because Jesus loves me more than most. He likes the things that I do more than the things that other people do. And that's the way we think sometimes. James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You know, it's interesting, the effect of the tongue that it can have. Your religion can be in vain, what you practice can be in vain, what's most important in life that you do can be in vain if you don't take care of your tongue. In Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets. That's what Harriet Olson did. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. When somebody shares something with us, do we feel that we have to share it with everybody else? Proverbs 26:20-22, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. We keep the fire going by what we say, what we do. It's like wood to the fire. Our stove going last night. I could have put more wood in it before we went to bed, but I didn't. And it went out and it stayed out. I got up this morning and I felt it and it was cold. It wasn't burning anymore. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. You know, the damage that one person can do when everything's going well, when we're all in harmony as a body, when we have a love for one another. Even the best of friends can be separated when somebody opens their mouth and says something that they shouldn't say. Psalm 15:1-3, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. You know, who is it that walks uprightly? Who's going to be able to live with the Lord on his holy hill in the future and reign with him? He gives us conditions here. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh reproach against his neighbor. So we have a responsibility. We can't just do everything that we want to do, say everything we want to say. You know, we hear that there's no consequences for anything we do, that all it takes is faith in the Lord, and there's nothing else we need to do in life. It's not, this isn't important. We don't need to talk about gossip and strife and envy and jealousy. We don't need to talk about those things anymore. You know, even at the pulpit, it's not to be talked about anymore. A few more verses, Romans 12:16-18. This is King James. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We're supposed to do everything that's in our power to rectify any situation. So when we're separated from people, we're not separated for the rest of our lives. We need to heal the situation and take care of the situation. If somebody did something wrong to you and they come to you and ask forgiveness, you are to work with them and forgive them for that. This is another verse, translation, the ESV, English Standard Version, I believe. Live in harmony with one another. I put this in here because it had the word harmony. If you do a search in the King James or various other translations, you don't find the word harmony. In this verse, you find the word harmony. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, not associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And I haven't analyzed this verse word for word with regards to the accuracy of the translation, but it says, live in harmony with one another. And the King James translated it, be of the same mind one toward another. Here's two more examples. Colossians 3:14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, when you're bonded together because of charity. And the ESV says, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Again, love for one another, humbleness, love, forgiveness. Not opening our mouth when we shouldn't open our mouth. Not sharing secrets one with another. These are all things that can result in unity if we do them. And that's all I have. So again, these were things that I just kept coming up, and I thought it was important, and I shared.